Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. And I'm just realizing that I forgot to close one of my doors because I have two of them. That's how secure I am. Very, 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 very secure. And, you know, I have to be very secure for someone that cooks people with money and power on a daily basis. Actually, that's, you know, how do I explain this? Guys, when I make fun of you, you have to, you know, instead of, you know, trying to take notes and trying to look up my information on social media so you can punch me in the face, you know, just take pride in that. You know, the way that you should, okay, let me, point this, let me explain this to you. When I make fun of you, that's you creating employment for me. So basically and technically, you are creating, you are an employment creator. Therefore, sort of like a content creator, but you know, someone else gets paid. That someone, you know, would be me. Well, we have, we could have a little bit of, you know, we could have any interruption that is, any time, from, now. That's, from the, you know, from the newly, arrested, gentleman, in connection with the Namco saga. One got bail last week, and this week two got arrested. That sort of like reminds me of you know, reminds me of Avengers. You know, the Captain America story. How many of you are familiar with Hail Hydra? Now, I've also, well, come to learn that the Hail Hydra was, you know, the Hydra part was replaced. You know, it was, the initial idea was to go Hail Hitler. Then they were like, that's not gonna come out well. Then they decided to replace it with a Hail Hydra. Now, that's, something that, look, the story of Hitler is one story that I find very fascinating. One story that, proves to me that if you want a job well done, do it yourself. Now, before you start going bananas, let me finish that statement. Here's the thing. You know how you can't even mention the name of Hitler on social media or your video is going to be taken down? You know who advocated for all that level of censorship around the name of Hitler and the sensitivity of the discussions around, of the topics around, topics of discussion around the Holocaust? The Jews. They did that themselves. Now, but you know what? You can just run around mentioning names like, King Leopold of Belgium. You'd be perfectly fine. But they did the exact same thing. They basically committed one atrocity after another. So, now, every time that I just go on social media and run into a bunch of pan-Africanists going that, well, you know what, but, people were also killed in the, in the DRCs, but, you don't have this level of attention around King Leopold. Like, who is going to bring that attention? You do it! No one is gonna do it for you! You're welcome! Duh! The degree of dependency must come to an end. The reason why we are caught in the, you know, the reason why a bunch of African leaders started running around shortly after signing up for the International Criminal Court, and they started running around going, well, this court is only targeting African leaders. And then, Ocampos came out. One of the guys that I think he was the first chief prosecutor of the ICC came out and said, well, we didn't come to ask you to sign up for this WhatsApp group. You approached us. Actually, you came begging. You basically ran around saying, well, we have a lot of dictators in Africa. Well, can't you guys come and help us?
Now, let me just tell you why that is a very damn story that sort of like makes me lose faith in humanity, especially African leadership. Every time at that, I think about that story. Guys, here's what we did. We were colonized by a bunch of Europeans. And then after they, you know, after we fought them, instead of just leaving, they decided to structure up an underground power structure with a bunch of black puppets in place. And then they, you know, then they were like, then they told us on the surface, yeah, you know what, we're leaving. Thank you very much. We apologize for everything and we're gonna go. No, they didn't. They didn't leave. The white ones left. The black ones remained. Let me explain. My very interesting Afrikaans description for that will be, the Zwartboeres remained. Now, those are the ones that were basically doing the bidding, wireless colonialism, as I like to call it, where the owners of the institutions will be sitting somewhere in Switzerland, and they have a bunch of politicians scattered across the African continent to take care of their interests. I call it wireless colonialism. It's been called neocolonialism, blah, blah, blah. Nah, I'm going to stick to wireless here, you know. I want to keep up with the times of technology. Now, Ian, when you look at wireless technology, you know, wireless colonialism, for example, is one genius form of colonialism. This is why, those are the people that we are dealing with. Now, here's the thing. Again, every time that I talk about this, you know those white broke people that you know? You leave them out of this. Those ones, they're just as broke as you are. I know, for a lot of people, you know, it's kind of difficult to wrap their minds around, you know, a white person who is broke. Oh, there are also white people that are really broke. And you'll find, you actually have a bunch of white, you know, you actually have a bunch of black people that are more loaded than a bunch of white people. You're welcome. Mostly, you know, those black people that were, you know, that were like, as long as they are, you know, it's benefiting me. I don't care. I'm not joining the liberation struggle. Those ones, we don't want to mention any names because, well, backstabbing idiots. Now, anyway, here's the thing. What we did was with the ICC example was we went to the very same people that colonized us, the very same people that set up the puppet leadership structure in place, and we asked them to come and help us get rid of the very system they set in place. Whatever it is we were smoking, I think, you know, I want to say let's make it illegal, but let's give it a shot. You know, let's just see if we can make a business, because it must be really good. What we did was having a conference with mosquitoes to try and figure out how to get rid of malaria. At this point, what do you think mosquitoes are going to tell you? They'll be like, actually, we are not the problem. The problem is you guys. I mean, look, and some of the points being made are very, makes a lot of sense. That's where the pain is. The mosquitoes will be telling you, actually, it's your fault you sleep with your windows open. If you just close your window, we wouldn't be able to come in. Well, I have a suggestion. How about just, well, don't come in. See the window that's open and don't come in. And then mosquitoes are going further on this one, pointing out, you know what? Look, if you just, before you go to bed, if you just take, a petri dish of blood and then put it somewhere where we can access it without, you know, biting you, that'd be nice. In other words, they will do anything to make sure that, to point all the mistakes in your direction. Now, Africa is full of dictators. Unbelievable. These guys, once they get to power, they just don't want to leave. And then you look at these leaders. Where do their kids go, go to study? These countries. Where do these politicians bank their money? The very same countries. Where do these politicians go for shopping? The very same countries. So, in other words, they have your politicians on a leash. They basically take homeboy, put him in power, and tell him that, actually, unless you do our bidding, this is not going to end well. Because, I mean, we can reach you anytime we want. Your wife comes here for shopping, your kids, we know where they go to school, and all this. So, you're gonna have to listen to us, or this is, now I'm reading a little too deep into Whitney Webb's, One Nation Under Blackmail. It's a 2 volumes book, one of my favorite. It's just a beautiful to read, and it makes me understand politics, much better. And again, it's sort of like, helps me understand, not just makes me understand, helps me understand politics much better. It just, indicates to me that nothing have changed in the in the world of geopolitics. Look, you have to understand that, in the history of money and power, anything is fair game. Husbands have killed wives. Wives have killed husbands. Husbands have killed children. Children have killed parents in the name of money and power. That world is an ugly one. It has always been an ugly. It's not something new. You're welcome. Blackmail is a part of the game. This is not new. It's as old as time. It's how the game of power is played. The end justifies the means. So, before you get into politics and think, you know what, I'll just go there. After all, I have a PhD in law. I'll just go there and put my PhD at work, and then the world will be a better place. No, it won't. Which is why I think, that's something that George Carlin pointed out to me, and then I came to realize that, actually that is true. Instead of just, trying to waste my time to, trying to fix the world, no, I'll just observe, write content, make fun of y'all, and then live my life in my own private corner of the planet, and then, someday die in peace, knowing that I didn't waste my time trying to fix something that's not fixable. I mean, the United Nations have that's their job. So, my job is to make fun of things. The UN's job is to try and fix it. So I'm not doing the UN's job. And a shout out to you guys. In comparison, you're doing great. So we decided to go and ask mosquitoes to help us solve malaria. And we kept wondering why the malaria statistics were going through the roof. My God, why are they just prosecuting us? Let's backtrack this a bit. Who did you ask for to help you get rid of dictators? Was this the same guys that colonized you? Ironically, yes. And you thought that they left. Now, why did colonialism end? Did colonialism end because Europeans, developed a sense of morality? They had developed a moral compass? No. They didn't have any option. Now, was slavery abolished out of the kindness of the British hearts? No. No. Slavery, you have to, now, 1830s, 1870s, this is around the same time that the Industrial Revolution is really gaining momentum. Why? There is a big transition from agrarian society to the industrial society. In other words, agriculture was losing was in decline as business model. Industrialism was on an inclination trajectory as a business model. In other words, a bunch of slaves that were very good in agricultural industrial model, they were not going to do very well in slaves that were very good, or more like very good and profitable, you know, agricultural wise, they were not going to do very well in the industrial world because that needed skills and training. Now, here is the dilemma that each and every single rich white person faced at the time. Broke white people, step aside. The only thing, the only difference between you and me is, you're white, I'm black. We're both broke, and actually, we are not very important to the, we are not very important to money and power. It's just that if you're white, if you're white, you are even more dumber, because the first thing they did is convince you that because you're white, broke though you may be, you are more important than the black person next to you. Where are you getting this, you racist idiot? Oh no, that's the wisdom of your fellow white guy. Let me read it for me. I think it was Lyndon B. Johnson, a former American president. I think, one of those American presidents who said that if you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best colored man, aka black man, he won't notice that you are picking his pocket. Give him somebody to look down on and he will empty his pockets for you. Translation, find a bunch of broke white people, convince them that they may be broke, but because of their skin color, they are better than, they are better than the rich black person. And they will not notice that you are doing them without Vaseline in their behind. And boy, does that system work. You may hate his words, but he was right. All you just have to do is gather up a bunch of white people and tell them that I totally understand you guys are broke, but look on the bright side. You're white. At least you're not black. At least you're not black. You're broke, but at least you're not black. But here's the thing that a lot of those, dumb white people fail to see now. There are black people that have more money than them, but for some reason, they have managed to be to convince themselves that, you know what? Even though I am broke, at least I am white. You're still broke, you idiot. Here's the thing. You have a lot of people. You have a lot of people in the white community that have convinced themselves that, even though they are broke, because of their skin color, they are more important than a loaded black person. Where is that coming from? Not the black community. That's white on white doing each other without Vaseline type of economic issue going on there. Let me read that for you again. If you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best black man, I'm replacing a black for colored there, because in Namibia, colored means a different thing. If you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best black man, he won't notice you are picking his pocket. Hell! Give him someone to look down on and he will empty his pockets for you. Bottom line, guys, whether you are black or white, the top 1%, the only thing they are interested in is stealing resources. Whether they are stealing those resources from a black person or a white person, they don't care. You're welcome. Now that I have laid the foundation on pointing out that the world of geopolitics revolves around lying. So every time I run into a bunch of white guys saying, "Ah, no, we are more important than anyone who is not, you know, who doesn't have a blonde hair and blue eyes," I was like, "Oh, he's one of the idiots that fell for it." And then I ran into, you know, into a bunch of black people going, "You know, black is the, you know, strong, and you know, all this white is just evil." I'm like, "Really? Everyone who is white is evil, and everyone who is black is good." Right. I have a few names for you. Mobutu Sese Seko. How are you doing? That was one excellent leader. Jean Bedel Bokassa. Awesome. Nice. That's one excellent leader. You know, this is actually why I don't like doing generalization. Like this whole, all black people are this or all white people are that. You know, that's actually how, you know, every time that you get in a debate with someone and then they start saying that, all in a reference to religion, tribe, race, don't waste your time. All Kavangos are this. Really? All of them? Okay, now you're just lying. There is no such thing as all. This tribe is this, all that religion. And this is the, the painful thing is, this is what you hear on a daily basis. All men are this. All women are that. All Vambas are that. All Kavangos are this. All Chinese are that. All black people are this. All white people are this. But here's the thing. The biggest problem you have is the word all. All Jews are nice. No, they are not. They are Jews that are nuts. They are Jews that are good people. All black people are, no, absolutely not. Nope. They are good black people, and they are bad black people. They are good white people, and they are bad white people. It's a human thing. It's not a skin color, religion, or tribal thing. It's a human thing. Every group of people have good people, and people that are just, well, flat out nuts. AKA, you know, crazy to the core. No, but our religion is the best. No, it's not. It's not. Christianity is the best. Catholicism is the only one. I don't know about that. That's just me. I'm just saying, generalization, I don't like generalizing. Because, every time I generalize, I more often find out that, I'm actually wrong. Very wrong. Moving on. Un momento, s'il vous plaît. Last week, in the whole, coming back to the Namco case, last week, Namco bail application, last week, someone was given bail. Miss Lindy was given bail. And then, bam, this week, two individual takes his place. Now, that reminds me of a motto in Avengers that was used by the evil guys, you know, the Hydra guys. That, they called themselves Hydra, that's in reference to the Greek mythology, that, you know, the 12 labors of Hercules. Now, if you grow up, absorbing all this Greek mythology, then you know that Hydra is the monster. I'm not sure if the Linnean Hydra or the Nemean Lion. One of these two is the one that Hercules had to take down in his, 12 labors of Hercules. That was courtesy of his, stepmother / step, auntie, long story. The point is, this monster was kind of difficult to defeat. It lived in a swamp. Hydra. And it had, it had like three heads. And every time that, when Hercules was trying to fight Hydra, every time that he cut off one head, on the stump that one head was cut off, two heads will germinate out of it and basically continue fighting. And it basically went on to show that it's kind of, it's, you know, it's, it was very difficult to defeat until he you know, he went to, he decided to, to ask his cousin, I think, to help him into fighting the high, the monster that every time that, that they cut off the head, they would, they would sterilize the part with, more like a, take some, take a hot piece of metal or hot piece of wood and then bend the part that was, that was cut before the two heads, germinate out of it. I know, a bunch of Greek mythology. But, the thing is, the motto was, if a head is cut off, two more shall take its place. That's what this whole Namco thing is beginning to sound like. One person got bail last week. Two persons, natural, joined the WhatsApp group this week. And those are the ones that... Oh no. Quick break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace. I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba. With the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nuneo don, o tukwetira o special ange tashake ngejefa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa, lokumona oijamoyili nawa. Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heari, nola natu heari bali no heari. Ileko derewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane Eagle FM. The Eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. The time is just 2 minutes past the hour of 10, where we hail Hydra. Now, that means the whole hearing, bail hearing thing is going to take a while, seeing that we have been joined by new gentlemen, and one of them is still on the run from the look of things, and I think it's kind of difficult to chill if, I think it's kind of difficult to chill if you are to chill if you are on the run, because in the world of social media. It's kind of tricky, though, because chilling usually entails, documenting everything on social media and making sure that, everything can see that you're having a good time. But if the authorities are busy looking for you, that's kind of difficult to do. Not kind of difficult to do. that's very difficult to do. Because one wrong picture, then the authorities will be alerted, and now you are looking... not a good idea. So armed robbery before we get to, you know, geopolitics, because I'm going to go on a rant a little bit on that one. An attempted robbery. Five suspects were arrested after being confronted during an incident. Now, these guys the guys that I'm sure we've all seen all over social media, an attempted robbery took place this morning. That was yesterday. This is from yesterday. At Big Deal Super Liquor Cash and Carry in Monte Cristo. Well, does this fall under the big deal type of, how do I put this? I don't think when the guys called it big deal, I don't think this, you know, robbery is what they had in mind. It's, they meant you show up with money and buy. Okay, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys. Now, let's say if they all have girlfriends, now I'm counting, how many girls out there that are single. And now, you know, vacancies that are, you know, out there. And one of them seems to be wearing Crocs. Namibians, you'll never be serious. Like, explain to me, like, who goes on a heist in Crocs? I don't know a thing about being on a heist, but man, that the courage, and it's either that's a lot of courage or that's just really dumb. Like, let's say, you now had a chance to run. How are you planning on doing that? Get rid of your Crocs and then run barefoot in Windhoek? Like, really? This just goes to show that, I'm not advocating that people should start doing this. I'm just saying, at least wear shoes, guys. At the very least. I'm just saying, going on a heist. Like, there was supposed to be some coordination here. Guys, when are we going? How are we pulling this off? What are we wearing? At least, what are we wearing? So you're telling me all five of them came together and did not realize that one of their servicemen had Crocs on. Like, look, if I was invited to go on a heist and then I saw that one of the guy that we are going to go on a heist with has Crocs on, I'll be like, look. This is obviously a joke, so, count me out. I'm not going to jail because of a joke. But, well, turns out, you know what? Crocs was not the only thing that was going on here. Now, Crocs in socks. I think, I feel, you know, I'm beginning to think this guy was an intern. And I don't blame the intern, I blame the supervisor. Like, it's your role as a supervisor to make sure that the intern is fit for the job. If this was an interview, homeboy failed before he even went on a heist. Because he did not, at least he wanted his feet to be warm in the middle of a heist. But that didn't end well. Every day you are hustling, every day. One day for the thief, one day for the owner. So, look, man. I'm really trying to think here, like, what situation will make me go on a heist in Crocs with socks? I know it's winter, and I know July is a very confusing month at this point. It's beginning to sound like one of those, one of those confused LGBTQ that runs around telling, telling everyone that, today I'm identifying as this, the next day I'm identifying as a chair, the next day I will identify as a cell phone, and that day I will identify as a plow or shipululo. And then all of you will just have to, dance along. When I identify as a shipululo, I want you to address me as such. And the next day when I change my mind, you also have to change your mind and address me as such. That is when I start going, at this point you need therapy. You don't need valid, you need therapy. So I think that's that's July right now. Because, I think July is having a little bit of confusion in a way that, it doesn't know whether it's a winter month or a summer month, especially in Windhoek. It was raining during the weekend. Today is Wednesday. Monday. On my way home, I needed an umbrella. Only I didn't have one because, well, I knew I did. I always knew that I don't need I need a sweater in winter, not an umbrella. Turns out, well, 21st century, planet Earth, you need an umbrella in winter, which is very odd. Now, let's, apart from the heist guys that, and homeboy is being cooked in the comment section. Yo, people are just, Yo. People are just being savage in the comment section. Now, I want to make sure that I go geopolitical. All that. Now, moving on. To understand this next part, we have to go back to colonialism. You have to understand that, we first have to look at how the power structure is set up in terms of geopolitics and how it has always worked, not just how it works now. Every time that someone in power that you have been fighting for a very long time decides to start saying things like, you know what, let's negotiate, ask yourself one question. Why all of the sudden change of mind? Because it's more often it's a trap. For a very long time, the colonial empires initially thought, you know what, going to war with the first thing that they did was they showed up here and they found us already kicking the heck out of each other, tribally. And, tribal conflicts, this is something that you find across the planet. It's not something that's just unique to your country and you and the tribe, just the two villages after yours. That's something that you find all across the planet. You find that, the North Koreans don't like the South Koreans. Japanese hate the Vietnamese. The Vietnamese hate the Japanese. And the Chinese hate the... they all hate each other. It's the very same thing that you find here. And then, then borders were drawn. Then, Zimbabweans don't like those people. Those people don't like Namibians. Namibians don't like the South Africans. And so you have all this... I think it's just, I think we draw some kind of pleasure from hate. I swear, people, we're like just, we'll be looking for any excuse to hate each other. I will give you an example. If you find a crowd of black people and white people, the hate is most likely to be racial. White people will be like, we are better than those ones. Black people will be like, no, we are better than those ones. Now, just separate those groups. Separate those groups. Separate the group of black people, put them in one area. You think like, you know what, now that is just all black people, everyone will be nice to everyone. No. As soon as they don't find anyone with a different skin color to hate, they start finding out, what tribe are you? I know I'm from this tribe. I hate those guys. Wait. I thought you guys loved each other when you were just pointing all the finger to a bunch of white people. Well, we had a common enemy. But now that we don't have a common enemy, we have to find someone to hate. And then you take those people that are from the same tribe. You put them in one room, then you'll be like, huh, there's no way hate will come here. I mean, they are all, after all, from the same race, black people, from the same tribe. They are all Kavangos. And guess what's going to come up next? What church do you go to? Well, I go to Pentecostal. And you, Catholic, you, Seventh-day Adventist, I hate those guys. Really? Commercial break.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Anaria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Sixteen past the hour of ten. Where was I? Human beings love to hate. We love to hate. You put us in the same room, you put different races in the same room, they will hate each other on account of race. And then when you split the races and then put so that you only have one race in the same room, they will either find something tribal or religious to hate each other. And if you just get the same people from the same church and the same tribe and the same race in the same room, they'll be like, you are a woman, right? I don't like you. And then you take, you're like, okay, you know what, let's remove the gender barrier. Let's just have one gender, one race, one tribe, one religion. You think that would be enough? Nope. No. Believe me. That's not gonna cut it. They will still look at each other and are like, we are all women. We are all black. We all go to the same church. But, what are your takes on Genesis chapter 1? Do you really think God created? Or is it evolution? Some of these things. And then the hate starts. Human beings, which is why I agree with George Carlin, trying to solve human beings' problems, you'll just waste your time to live. Which is why, as for me, I'll just observe the information, and then write my content from it, and then make fun of them, and live my life in peace. Because, I'm done trying to play good guy, who is always advocating for peace. I'm advocating for peace. But the whole idea that, one day we'll just resolve all the conflicts in the world and we'll live happily ever after. You poor, naive, I'm looking for the politically correct statement. Sorry, but I tried. You poor stupid idiot. That's not gonna happen. Now, back to colonialism. When Europeans showed up, we were in the middle of kicking the heck out of each other. So naturally, we thought, okay, you know what? Those are going to be on my side. We looked at a bunch of light-skinned guys stepping off some wooden boats, and then every tribal leader was like, you know what? If I can get to them before anyone else does, they will be on my side, and I'll win this war against my tribal neighbor. This is like, have you ever walked in a room where two people were, where a boyfriend and girlfriend, husband or wife, you know, each one of them will try to give you their version of the story so you can side with them. That is the biggest mistake our ancestors made. And actually, if you ask me, laid the foundation to colonialism. Because every tribe was now, you know, every tribal leader was like, you know what? If I can get to a bunch of those, light-skinned guys allergic to the sun. For one, they're allergic to the sun. How do you want them to help you in the middle of a war zone where you are throwing spears without sunscreen? That was a dumb idea. But anyway, our ancestors thought that if we just go there and then bring together all this bunch of white, if we can give them our version of the story, they are going to agree with me and they will side with me and they will fight on my side. You know what they did? They actually gave guns to all tribes, and then we were like, ha, they gave me a gun. I'm going to show them flames. When we got to the battlefield, then we realized that the same gun that we were using was also being used on us by the tribe that we were fighting. We're like, hang on a second, how'd they get it? That's when we realized that we are all being done without Vaseline. What we didn't know was that when we were busy shooting at each other with the guns that were given to us to replace the spears that we were making ourselves, the guys that we thought were on our side, they were actually not on our side. They were only on one side, the natural resources side. And white people, I will give you credit on that one. That's a genius move. Like, you didn't have to side with anyone. First of all, you have been doing the exact same thing. You've been kicking the heck out of each other tribally. So you knew that tribal conflicts is not something you finish. First of all, if you sit them down and ask them, when did this start? They're going to give you a Wikipedia, actually a voluminous encyclopedia of when it all started. It all started in the Garden of Eden, shortly after the snake ate the apple. Who has time to listen to that? Actually, I didn't sail all the way to come and listen to your tribal conflict. I'm here to steal resources. And the instability, the tribal instability that you have, makes it very easy for me to steal the resources. Now, if anything, I'm going to supply you with the guns so that you can just escalate the tension. And the more you fight, the less attention you pay to your resources, the more I steal. That, in a nutshell, is the history of colonialism. But something amazing happened. When we came to realize that we were actually both being taken for a ride, guess what's the first thing we did? We decided to set aside our old tensions, tribal tensions, joined forces, and then we came up with the wars of liberation struggle. And boy, we were kicking white butts left, right, and center. To the point where they were like, okay, all right, all right, all right. We are not fighting now. Let's negotiate. You know, conciliation and all that crap. You know, let's just negotiate. Let's negotiate. Oh, you guys are powerful. Okay, okay. Translation, when you are divided, you are easily taken advantage of. But when you are united, you are a force to be reckoned with. For some reason, we didn't learn that. We didn't learn anything from that. As soon as a bunch of light-skinned guys allergic to the sun came to the table to negotiate, well, guess what? They took just a few powerful political positions and gave those positions to a few black guys. And guess what? The tribal tensions also started. Came back. We're like, well, where were we? We don't have a common enemy who is a bunch of white guys to fight anymore. So what are we going to do with all this energy to fight? What are we going to do with all this hate? We can't just keep it. I mean, we have to hate someone. How about we go back to where Vambos hate Kavangos, Kavangos hate Vambos, and Vambos hate Damaras, Damaras hate Kalats, Kalats hate whites, whites hate... You know, we have to do something with this hate, you know. And guess what? We are back to square one. Now, let's look at our independence now. By the way, today is International Day of Friendship. So, apparently, it's International Day of Friendship. And it's also World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. Trafficking in persons is a fancy job, it's a fancy politically correct way of saying, it's like, you know how Tura boys grab smartphones and then run? This is grabbing people and then running. It's more diabolical. So, before you look at the guys that were arrested for trying to pull off a heist at a liquor store as the most, the lowest that society have to offer in terms of morality, just, remind yourself, no, they are not. They are people that are way low. Really, 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 really low. There are people out there that make money by selling people's organs. They kidnap you, and then they cut you open, and take your kidneys, sell and make money, and they are extremely rich. So now you understand what what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, "The love of money is the root of all evil." It's not money. I know it's one of the most misquoted scripture, I swear. Money is the root of it. No, it's not. I'm no priest. I don't remember last time I was at church. I said, no. Don't sit next to me in church. My friends know better than that. It's just the way that my brain interprets information. When all you have is a hammer, you think everything is a nail. Well, I'm a comedian, so I interpret everything around me in a comical way. I find humor in everything, which is why dark humor is, I just laugh at dark humor with those ones that are closest to me, because last time I correct a dark joke. You know, friend of mine didn't talk to me for a week. I'll give you a hint. He was gay. Yeah, I said something that made him not talk to me for a week. And then when he came back, he started laughing. I was like, "Hey, you finally got the joke. Ooh, finally, thank you." So I only bring out like my dark humor in when it's more like my controversial humor with people that are closest to me, because, well, I don't have bodyguards. So why did I bring up the whole colonialism thing? It's the thing is you have to understand that in the world of geopolitics you fight for resources. Now the power structure is compartmentalized in a very brilliant way. First of all, at the top of the food chain you have people with money. You know, businesses. You have people with money. Those people with money take their money and then they give it to a bunch of politicians so they can be the face of whatever is going on. Keir Starmer, Prime Minister, President, this, yeah, all that stuff. Behind each and every single one of these guys is a group of people that have a lot of money that are funding everything and telling them, no, we're not ready to negotiate yet. So every time they start saying things like, no, we want to negotiate, just know that something is, well, they're losing. In geopolitics, people only want to negotiate if they are losing. Take Iran and Israel, for example. In 12 days, Israel was already calling for a ceasefire. Why? It's because Iran was punching back. Now, have you ever noticed that, Israel is not calling for a ceasefire in Gaza? Why? It's because they carry an upper hand in bombardment of Gaza. If Palestinians, get the military hardware and training to punch back, the Israelis will be like, okay, fine, you know what, let's negotiate. That's exactly what happened during liberation struggle. Because plane fighters, for example, didn't throw in a towel. The more they died, the more people joined. And when colonizers saw that, they were like, hey, and then they saw that, Zambians were helping them, Angolans were helping them, Tanzanians were helping them. They're like, yeah, this is difficult to fight. We're gonna lose if we go on fighting here. We are losing. So the best thing to do is negotiate. That's how the world of geopolitics work. Every time that you hear someone saying let's negotiate, just know that they are losing. So every time you hear someone saying let's negotiate, ask yourself one question. What's the catch? Because there is a catch. Take France, for example. France's geopolitical dominance was in decline back in the 50s and 60s. So they knew that they were going to lose their colonies anyway. They decided, enough fighting. We can talk about this. Now, at this point, if you are naive when it comes to geopolitical observation, you are going, maybe the French just came to realize that committing all these atrocities is not, it's bad. You know, they just decided, let's just be humans about this. No, they didn't. They knew they were going to lose. They decided to dictate the terms of whatever negotiations was coming. Namibia say, the same thing can be said with your controversial resolution for 35 and all that garbage. Now, here's the thing. The French were like, how about we just talk about this. We are going to give you independence of your country. You're going to run your country, but we run your economy. And there was the catch. Now, why am I bringing up all these examples? It's because the very same thing is taking place as we speak. You know, ever since the 1940s, for those of us that are smart enough to read history, and ever since October 7th, 2020, is 2023, for those of you that have the attention span of a fly, the West have not wanted anything to do with a Palestinian recognition. But right now, that language is, all we have been hearing after, you know, ever since the whole thing went in escalation mode in October 7th, 2023, was that, Israel has the right to defend itself. Israel has the right to defend itself. That was, that's the garbage that was coming from, that's the garbage that was coming from, that was coming from Western media, Western politicians, Western everything. Israel has the right to defend itself. Israel has the right to defend itself. And, for those of you that are, and everyone that, that sided with the Palestinians was called a Hamas sympathizer. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or not. If you just say, stop bombing children, you are not asking for, you are not asking for anything much. You are just asking for, okay, Hamas bombed you. Yeah, they did. Well, you stole their land from the 1940s. You know the history. I'm not going to run you through it. What did the children do? Now, again, there is no amount of October 7th that anyone can use to justify bombing children, because anyone will ask, what did the children do? It's like me getting in a fight with Mandume, and then I go to Mandume's house, and then start beating up his children. Everyone in that community is going to be like, you know what? Mandume may have started this fight, but let's just dial back the clock, and let's take a few steps back, and let's just face just how stupid that approach is. What the children do, what they do, the kids, what they do. For some reason, there is a bunch of geopolitical notion out there that will want to convince you that because of October 7th, let's just go out and bomb children. Yeah. No. This is not just with regards to Palestinian children. This is with regards to all children. Nope. Now, what's coming, different from the notion of Israel has the right to defend itself and all that garbage because, we can starve children. I mean, there is a perfect explanation for that. There is no perfect explanation for starving children. Nada, not a single one. Nope. I don't care how biblical that example is. Because I know you have a bunch of people that are using scripture. According to this book, like I pointed, look, it will be very difficult for anyone to convince me to believe in a God that is okay with starving children. If your God is okay with starving children, I have a lot of questions about your God. Now, the language seems to have been, the language seems to have changed. One of my favorite comedians, John Stewart, is one of those people, he's a Jew, by the way, he's one of those people that has, as of recent, been highly criticized for saying, you know what, I'm a Jew, I get that. But starving children, yeah, count me out of that. Because, there's a line somewhere. There is a line somewhere. A line have to be drawn somewhere. You have a bunch of people that go like, if you are fighting an enemy, and I came across this video. I think it's also in Louis Theroux's documentary. Of settler colonialism, where one lady said that when you are fighting an enemy, you also have to you also have to kill the children of that enemy, so you don't have future enemies. I posted that video and went like, "That's coming from a woman, huh? Nice." It's a very good thing it's not coming from a guy. But the guys were not to be, there's a one guy that literally said, I've taken your house because it's either I take it or someone is going to come and take it. What? Now, before you start saying, yeah, white people are better than any other race, I'm looking at this white guy that's saying that, okay. Now, before you start hating all white people, the guy that made the documentary is white. So he's basically saying, yeah, I'm white, but I'm not that white. You know. Something like that. So how has the narrative around Palestine changed? Well, let me get something for you, something interesting. France will recognize Palestinian state. And I was like, wait, what? Last time the French said, let's negotiate with its colonies, there was a catch. The catch was, we'll give you your independence as long as you keep us, you know, we maintain a significant military presence in your country and we keep printing your reserve, we basically run your economy. Then we are going to give you your independence back. So the catch was, you are going to be the president, but I will run, I will be in charge of your economy. And there was a very huge but. No pun intended. Now, when I came across an article of France, and by the way, the UK is right behind them. The UK is right behind them in recognizing the Palestinian state. The question I'm asking myself is, what is the catch? Because there is a catch. There is a catch. There is a catch. What is the catch? In the 1830s, somewhere between 1830s, is it 1830s or 1870s? I always go, confuse, the time frame there. The British decided, you know what, we are going to abolish slavery in the UK and basically all our colonies. We are going to abolish slavery. We are just going to get freed of slavery. What was the catch? Everyone who was a slave owner, now the slaves were now given freedom to go out there and get jobs so that they can work and pay taxes, of which a large part of that money is going to be taken and be channeled to slave owners as a compensation for them losing their properties. Now, here's the thing. Were they freed though? And also the reason why the British abolished slavery is because they did not, they wanted to stifle American economy because the US was a rising economic contender at the time. They didn't abolish slavery because out of the kindness of their hearts. They did so as a power move to try and stamp down America's economic growth. So every time that I read an article talking about China is this evil dictator, Xi Jinping, this and that, I go like, I'm not saying I don't agree with you, but why are you saying that? Why? Because there is a catch. Again, in the world of geopolitics, there is always a catch. There is always a catch. Now, in this one, there is a catch. Quick break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
And welcome back. The time is 16 minutes to the hour of 11. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap, comedy on Eagle FM. Ouch. 0832888401. Please call again. Call again. Oh, dear Lord. Now, where was I? In the world of geopolitics, let's pay the bills. Commercial break. In the world of geopolitics, there's always a catch.
Are you eligible to vote but not yet a registered voter? Your time is now. Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all qualified citizens to take part in the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. These include those who turned 18 years after the previous registration of voters, all eligible Namibian citizens who are not yet in possession of a valid voter's card, citizens who have changed residence from one constituency or local authority to a different constituency or local authority. Democracy is not a spectator sport, it's all about taking part. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe.
And welcome back. Five days ago, the French sort of like pointed out that in September, come September, they will recognize a Palestinian state, huh? And then, shortly after that, I think it was yesterday when the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, gave the same announcement that the UK will recognize a Palestinian state by September. So just around the same time. You know what's going on right now? There are food trucks at the border, especially they call it the Palestine and Egypt border. There are food trucks that are there that are lying dormant, gathering dust, while people just across the border are literally starving. Welcome to the world of geopolitics and power. And I like how the whole thing have been framed, though. Because, the whole thing is framed in a way to basically guilt-trip you. Anyone that points that out is described as someone that hates Jews. I know. And my favorite part is, even Jews themselves, if they speak up against that, they hate themselves. And therefore, they need re-educating. You wanna re-educate Noam Chomsky? Are you kidding me? You want to re-educate Albert Einstein? If there is one person that needs re-educating, it's you. Because, well, Noam Chomsky is literally a scholar. And he's the one, again, that pointed out that You know this whole thing of we are more democratic than you. All that garbage. Screw that. Noam Chomsky observed that propaganda is to democracy what violence is to dictatorship. In other words, the difference between propaganda, the difference between democracy and dictatorship is propaganda and fear. The bottom line is both democracy and dictatorship, they need to control they're all based on a power structure that relies on control. If you can't control your people, you can't rule over them. In a dictatorship, you scare the monsters out of them, therefore, so that you can rule over them. That's what you do in a dictatorship. Anyone that questions your authority, you know, goes on a trip where they never come back. Because, well, they have met their savior, most likely. And, in a democracy, you can't just go around making people disappear. Because that's how you lose control. Because, well, in a democracy, questions are allowed to be asked. The people are allowed to ask, ask questions to the authority. In a democracy, in a dictatorship, the guy that criticizes you, you make them disappear. And the person that comes asking where the guy that criticized you is, you also make them disappear. And the guy that comes to ask what happened to the guy that asked you about the guy that criticized you, you also make them disappear to the point where people, you know, get the message. Then they start going, don't criticize him because, well, then you're going to disappear. Then based on that fear, you can rule. Now, democracy does the exact same thing according to Noam Chomsky, only differently. And instead of making people disappear, don't tell them the truth. In other words, lie to them. Lie. Don't play. Lie. Now, for you to control them, you lie to them. Now, the beautiful part about democracy is that it's not very different from a family structure of mother, you know, mother, father, and kids. In order to have kids at home that follows instructions, sometimes you have to lie to them. Take, for example, if you were 100, let's just face the reality. If you are 100% transparent with your children, you would not be able to have the parental status that you have. Your wife becomes, too busy with her job, or maybe she's just not feeling well, she's going on a trip and stuff. So you get a sitter to babysit the kids. And you and the babysitter, you know, hits it off, and then you start doing the do behind your kid's back. Now, let's just say you are one of those people that practice 100% democracy, and, you know, you want to give your all, you know, you want to be transparent. Then one day you just sit your kids down and tell them, well, as you know, kids, that we all believe in democracy in this house, and we don't like keeping secrets from each other. Now, as a very responsible and very honest father and very transparent father, I'm here to tell you that the nanny and I have been going at it three times a night. Are those kids going to respect you ever again? Forget respect. Are those kids ever going to talk to you? Those kids are never going to talk to you, never going to respect you. As far as your marriage goes, you might as well just call a lawyer and start preparing for a divorce, because as far as the madam gets that, as soon as the madam gets that message, you're single and half your stuff is gone. And now, that's sort of like, I find it very interesting. Like, that's how I compare democracy. So every time that, every time that, the president's office, gives half information and people starts going, yo, just give us 100% of the information. I go like, gosh, yeah, what? This is me, guys. This is me, guys. For me, I totally understand if the president came out today and said, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. There are things that the president is not allowed to share with you. Not because it's, not because the president wants to lie to you. It's because if you knew this, you'd fall off your chair. Now, you are a very wonderful wife. You went on a conference for 1 week and you fell for the MC and you did the do in the bathroom at some point. So when you come back from that, now you are coming back from that trip as like, hey, you know, the kids, you're meeting the husband. Hey, honey, I haven't seen you for a week. It was nice. Now, because you believe in transparency and democracy, you sit your husband and the kids down there like, and then you go, well, as you all know that in this house, we don't keep secrets from each other. Now, kids, listen to me. When I was away, there was this very, tall, dark and handsome MC, and I couldn't, stop swallowing my saliva over him. And then, one thing led to another. And then we found ourselves doing it in the bathroom. Try that level of transparency with your relationship now, shall we? Yeah, please, just try that. Let's see if you're going to have a relationship. Now, here's the thing. I've come to learn that, human relationship, whether it's intimate or power, some degree of lying is needed. I know it's not something that I can wrap my mind around to. It's really weird. A guy can go out with his homies and he will go to the club and have a good time he's just watching things bouncing around in his face, left, right, and center. And when he gets home the next day, oh, honey, the wife or the girlfriend is now asking, honey, how was the night out with the boys? Oh, no, it was awesome. I mean, it was just fun. That's it. And ladies often wonder why we don't go into detail. Because we know that if we got into detail, we're going to get killed. And no boyfriend in his right mind or husband will just go there and say, oh my God, there was this lady that was just shaking it right in front of my face. Oh, honey, we had a good time. At this point, you are single. And it's just the same. There is no woman out there who in their right mind will go out for a girl's night and come out and say, oh, there's this guy who just ripped off his shirt in front of us. And my God, the six piece just ripped his glistening skin. At this point, the boyfriend is going, aha, so I don't have a six pack. That's when now, as a responsible madam who care about your relationship, you don't have any choice but to go, I love yours, I love your tuffle tummy. Are you kidding me? I don't care about his six pack. His six pack, who cares about that? I love your tuffle tummy. No, you don't. You are just saying that to calm the nerves. And you know what? It works. Works like a charm. You gotta love people. You gotta love people. Too much truth gets you nailed to the cross. We have, we have evidence for that in the first four books of the, of the gospel. Too much truth. No. We even have the modern day of it. I think back during Jesus' time, it was, snitches shall get, crucified. And then we sort of like revamped that to catch up with the times. From snitches get crucified to snitches get stitches. UK plans to recognize a Palestinian state in September unless Israel takes action. What action? And what state? You mean the Gaza Strip? Or the West Bank? This From now, basically moving forward, this is going to be one of the very, this is going to be one discourse that will dominate, international headlines. Now, the UK plans to recognize a Palestinian state in September unless Israel takes action. Gaza's latest, Netanyahu claims Stamas are piecing terrorists over pledges to recognize Palestine unless war ends. That's obviously the Israeli Prime Minister's response. And France will recognize Palestinian state, Macron says. And France will officially recognize a Palestinian state in September, President Emmanuel Macron said, which will make it the first G7 nation to do so. You know why this is the case? The people at home. Netanyahu in Israel is facing a lot of pressure from not only political parties in his own cabinet, but also his own people. The citizens in his country are raising up and basically pointing out to just how diabolical his domestic and foreign policies have been, especially with regards to what's been going on in Palestine. And the UK and the US and France, basically the Western governments, have been facing a lot of pressure from their own people to basically... this is more political than it is about humanity. This is just a bunch of politicians that are trying their level best to change a point of view on a subject that's been going on for decades, in order to save their own political skills. This has nothing to do.